Okay. Today's daf is daf kuf. We got to the 100s. We got to the bottom of the Tzai Testament Beza, the Mishnah. We did it at the end. We'll review it. The Mishnah says, Shum Hadayanim, if the Dayanim were selling the property of the Yosomim, and they made a assessment, they valued the property, Shepichsu Shususo Hosifu Shusus Machin Bato. If they had underpriced or overpriced the property by more than or less than a sixth, it was, without doing the numbers, but it was, let's say, cost $100, so did six more they sold it for, or they sold it for a six less than $100, so then it would be a batel, the mechir be batel, because of Onah, the halachas of Onah discussed in Baba Metziah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Machon Kaim, no, not true. Even if they overpriced it or very much underpriced it, it's a good sale. Why? The svar is, Im Kain Makoch based in Yafa. What ability, what strength does Basin have? Basin has the ability to do whatever they want. So if you're saying what Basin does is not going to be effective, that undermines the power of Basin, and we can't do that. So for those reasons, or that reason, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks it is a good sale, even if it's over or underpriced. Aval im asu igeres bekores b'neim. We saw this already before. If they make a hachraza, a public auction, then afilu machu shava mana b'masayim o shava masayim b'mana machar kaim. But if they make this auction, it seems that even the Tanakhama would agree if it's overpriced or underpriced, it's going to be a good sale. Even if it's a value of 100, which is sold for 200, or to the land of 200, which is sold for 100, which of course is a much bigger difference than a 6, even the Chama will agree it's a good sale, because the Rashi doesn't explain this, but what we've been saying is, if that's the public sale, that's the market value, what's being sold for, and so that's the market value now. It's no longer considered 200 properties sold for 100. It's now a $100 property because that's what it was bought for. As opposed to if it was, sold in a private way where no one knew about it, so they're making some private deal behind closed doors, so maybe really the Dayan were not doing the proper thing, or they just didn't know the value. But once you make it a public sale, whatever it's sold for becomes the actual value. So the Gemara asks now, Ibailu Shliach Kiman. So the Shliach, who does the Shliach, what's the halachas with regards to Shliach? What does that mean? So you look at the last Rashi on Amud Beis here, Shliach Kiman. Shliach de ta, when the shliach is told to go sell property of the Yosomim, and he makes a mistake. Kiman dayinin alei. How do we judge him? Kalmana, do we view him as the widow? Dayinin alei, shibitaos koldu batel, kiditnan shavim mana, vidina bimana macha batel. Is the shliach going to be representing the almana in the case of selling the Yosomim's property? And we said that if the almana sells even one dinar more than she's supposed to, the entire sale is null and void. Is that how we view the shliach? It has to be exact? O Dilma, or perhaps Rashi says, O Kidaininan hu, O Kidayanim, or do we view the Shliach as a Dayan, the Aj to Tal B'Shusus? And according to the Tanakhama, you have more room to give a sixth, is the error of margin you could be working with. So again, when a Shliach is selling a property of the. So again, when Yosomim's property is being sold, if it's the Almana who sells it, so if she's off by even one dinar, she sells more than a dinar, or the price is more than a dinar, or less than a dinar, it's a. The Bechir is Batal. If a Bezdin sells it, according to Tanakhama, you have a Shisus, a sixth of wiggle room. The question is, if it's more than a sixth, it's batel. Or less than a sixth.
So they have no room to.
No, they do, sure. It's $100. Let's say they sell $100 and they sell it for $70.
So it's batel. Right. But if it's 92, it's good.
Exactly. But if a Amana were to sell for $92, she would be the Mechir Ribato. So when a Shliach, now a third party, well, I guess a Dayan is also a third party, but if the Shliach were to sell it, is he going to be judged like an Amana? And if it's off by even a dinar, it's going to be Batal, or more like a Dayan, and there's more of room to work with a sixth above, a sixth below?
But I have a doubt here, because in general, the reason for the Amana's no wiggle, mm-hmm. because it's the money of the Yosomim. If it would be here, we're talking about a Balchov, not a.
I thought this also the Yosomim.
Oh, is this Yosomim?
Yeah, I thought so.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty sure. You're right. The Gemara Rashi doesn't say, but that was the assumption I was working with.
Yeah, Alkul says.
Uh-huh. Alkul says it. Okay.
Yeah.
Is he talking also about the Yosomim? Then it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. So the Gemara now going on to Kuf Amin Aleph says, Rav Amar of Nachman, Shaliach Kidainin. we view the shliach as kedayin, like a dayin, and therefore the shliach has a sixth of room to work with. And Rav Shmuel Bar Bizni Amar Rav Nachman Kalmana. He thought Rav Nachman felt it was more like an amana, and if shliach is off by even one dinar, it's going to be batal. Rav Amar Rav Nachman shliach kedayin, kedayanin, that shliach is like a dayin and has 1/6 to work with. Why? What's this svara? Ma dainin lav lididu. Ashliach nami lav lididu. Lafuki amana lidida. The shliach is like a dain. The dain is not working for himself. The bez is not working for himself. They're helping out the amana. So they're not working on their own. So they're not, I guess, the much of the svar is being used here, but at least in terms of comparison, they're not working for themselves. And so too, Ashliach is not working for himself. So therefore, the comparable, and you have a sixth to work with, as opposed to an amana who's working for herself. She's selling the property in order for her to gain, so therefore she only has a dinar to work with. Now, l'chor, the svar would be, she's no gei b'davar. She's no gei b'davar, so therefore there's no room to work with, as opposed to shliach and bezdin are not working for themselves at all, and therefore they could go to the normal halachas of ona, and you have 1/6 to work with. Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna Amar Rav Nachman, he felt Rav Nachman, he heard, he said differently, that is the kalmana, the shliach is working as an almana, ma almana yichida af shliach yachid, lafugi bezdin dirabim ninu. No, almana, the reason why almana is limited to a dinar, because she's only one person, and one person could obviously make mistakes, and so therefore, no, there's no checks and balances. I'm throwing out the svar, I'm not sure if that's what it means, but my understanding is that a yachid, there's no checks and balances, so therefore, even off by one dinar would be a problem. So to a shliach who's working on his own, would be, if it's off by one dinar would be a problem, as opposed to a bezin where you have three people sitting there, there's going to be the checks and balances and neutralizing each other, so therefore you allow for more wiggle room. There's no concern of anyone being stuck in one price. That to me would be the svar behind all this. So that's the machlokas. Do we compare the shliach to an amana, but that they're both working as one person, or your shliach more compared to a dayan because they're not working for themselves? That's the shaila. So the Gemara paskins the hilchasa shliach kamana. The Gemara concludes the halacha is that shliach is like an almana, and therefore if the shliach is off even just one dinar like an almana, it would not be a good sale. There's a discussion here, Rashi and Tosos, about what the shliach, which type of shliach it is. Is it shliach that the bezdin appoints? Is it stam shliach? I'm not going to get involved in that, but that's a little Tosos here on the top Tosos here. Now the Gemara asks, "Why is this? How is this any different than the Mishnah that we found earlier? That Haomer the Shlucho Tzei V'Tarum, person says to an agent, to a messenger, to his friend, go ahead and take truma from me in my backyard, in my field, and Tarim Kedas Bahabayis. The Shliach has to take the truma according to what the Bahabayis normally likes, as we said the other day, 140th, 150th, 160th, one Ein Yafa, Bainis, and Ein Ra. So depending on the different levels, what the Bahabayis normally takes, that's exactly the amount the Shliach should take as well. But let's say the Mishnah says, Vim Eini Yodea Daitel Shabbayis. Let's say the Shliach doesn't know what the Bahabayis normally takes. So then the halacha is, he should take the safe approach, and Torim Bibeinonis Echad Mechamishim, he should take the 150th, the middle ground, because he's not really sure if he should take a little bit more, a little bit less. That's the ideal. But if he's Piches Asara, Hosif Asara, or if he either takes 10 less, or 10 more, he either does 140th or 160th, then the halacha is, it's Shuma Sachuma. So there the truma is good. So what's the difference? Here, we allow some wiggle room for the shliach, in the case of the truma. Sorry, over there by the truma, we allow the shliach to work a little bit, 10 more, 10 below. But here, when it comes to the case of selling the property of the Yisomim, if we're passing that shliach is like an almana, there is no wiggle room at all. If the shliach is off by one dinar, the entire mechir is batal. Why by truma we allow there to be some room, 140th, 150th, or 160th? So that answers the Gemara. Hosum kevan de ika de tarim b'ayin yatra, the ika de tarim b'ayin yafe. So since there are those, some bias take it ayin yafe 140th, others do ayin ra 160th. Therefore, amalei lehachi am de tchaf. So the shliach says, that's how I thought you were. I wasn't really sure what your normal das is. So based on what other people do and statistics and knowing your personality, I thought you were this type of guy, a 140th guy, a 160th guy. So there's at least a svara that he's working within the das, what he thought the das of the Baal HaBayis was.
No, it's for mamish kabel.
What?
If it's good or bad, it's kabel.
If it's
a good truma, if it's any finer, am I still truma? Therefore, it's accepted.
No,
comparing to selling a property, it's not, it's personal interest. which is not Truma.
No, but the Shliach, there's no personal interest when the Shliach is done. What we're concerned is the Shliach.
The Baal HaBayit. It's his Truma.
Well,
so
no.
He gave less, he gave more. It's still Truma.
But we're still trying to figure out what the, we're trying to figure out the Da'at. I mean, the Shliach is trying to get in the head of the Baal HaBayit. What was his Da'at? If the Shliach is not working with the Da'at of the Baal HaBayit, there's no Shliachas anymore.
But in that here, it's accepted. Even if you do good, did more or less, it's accepted. That's the point.
Correct.
Comparing to Nechassim, which Almana and Shliach is not accepted if they make a mistake with one dinar. Because here, it's a Truma.
No,
the point is not between
it's
the
Shliach,
right? No, I know.
Shliach and Akadosh Baruch Hu, between the Shliach and the person who sent him. Did he do his Shlichus or not? That's the question. Forget about.
Oh, it's if it's the meaning being and it's the Shlichut itself.
Right, exactly. So if it's good or not. On one you say, well, the Shlichut was good because there are people. But
no,
in
but
this one,
there's a reason that you can tie it up. To,
right, I mean, I think that's
the
question. If the Shlichut itself is good, is not.
Exactly. If the Shliach is not following...
Is good or is the end result is good?
Well, both. What I'm saying, if there's no Shlichus, then there's no Truma. If there's no Shlichus, then the Memela, there's no Truma either. The only way there could be Truma if the Shliach is still working as a messenger. If you send the guy to do something for you and he's not doing what you told him to, he's no longer Shliach and he can't represent you anymore. So how do we know if the Shliach is still representing the Baal HaBayit? So Shliach says, you as the Baal... Right, so you as the Baal HaBayit, there's some guys who do 1/40th, some guys do 1/60th. I thought you were a 1/40th type of guy. So it's still, the Shliach is still working within the Das of the Shliach, and the Mishalech also is okay, he's comfortable with being represented in that way. As opposed to Aval Hacha, here in the case of the selling of the property of the Yisomim, says the Gemara Aval Hacha, Ta'usu, this is a mistake. It's not that the Shliach was saying, oh, you wanted to sell for this price, that price. This is actually a mistake. You mispriced the property. It can't be, this may have been the Das of the Baal HaBayit. Therefore, Amalei, Lo Yibalach, Limitai, I don't, the Mishalech says, I don't want you to make mistakes on my, on my end. It's going to cost me.
I think they should, that's my opinion.
It should? Okay. Perhaps the Rishonim do.
Well, there's some space for notes here.
Okay. Fine. So that's how the Gemara concludes. So, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha, Kedivrei Chachamim. We're going back to our Mishnah that we started off the day with, the end of the Tzai Tetzamet Beis. What happens if the Dayanim were to have less than the 10th, 6th, or more than a 6th? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's not batel because the base in Makoch, base in Yafeh, anything that they sell for, it could be 10 times more, 10 times a tenth less, it's still going to be a good sale.
But if there was a Chraza, then it would be okay.
A Chraza, according to Tanakam, a Chraza would be okay, even if it's very much under or overpriced, right? So the halacha is, again, says Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kedivrei chachamim, that it has to be within a sixth for it to be good sale. If it's more than a sixth in either direction, it's going to be batel. But lastly, Rav Nachman, makoch beisin yafeh. Rav Nachman rejects this concept of makoch beisin yafeh, that when beisin does something, we can't undermine what they do because it's undermining the whole court system. V'homar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, we're going to see now that Rav Nachman does hold of such a svar elsewhere. That the Yisomim Shabo Lachlok B'Nichsevim, if the Yisomim are coming to divide and divvy up the properties of the estate, based in Mamidim Lehem Apachapis, they put for them an Apachapis, someone who oversees and manages the properties, Uborim Lehem Chelek Yafe, and he picks it, this is probably good for you, and this property is probably good for what you should be doing. He divides them what he thinks is best for each of the children. Then let's say Higdilu, they get older, they become over the age of 13, Yicholim Limchos, they can now be Moche. And what was given to them years ago, now that they're Gedolim, they could say, you know what, at the time, you may have thought this was best for me, I really need a wheat field instead of a cornfield. So Rav Nachman, himself adds in, Amar Higdilu, Einu Yechol Mechot, that's not true. Because if that's the case, Imkein Ma'akoch Beisin Yafeh. If you're going to tell me when the kids were younger, under the age of 13, they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, they gave them property, and then when they turned 13, they could all undo what Basin did, so Makoch Basin Yafeh, what strength does Basin has? It undermines the entire court system. So Rav Nachman himself says, uses this svara, saying that whatever is given out as the Yisomim can never be undermined. But here, when it comes to the Basin selling the property to get money for the almana, there he says that we don't hold that svara. If it's a basin sells it for much more than it's worth, more than a sixth, it's not a good sale. We don't say makoch basin yafeh here. So answers the Gemara, lo kasha. How did toh, how did lo toh? It depends. One the case of a mistake, one the case where there was no mistake. Our mission is where there was a mistake. So based in itself makes a mistake, so then you can't say, makwach bais nyafta. They made an actual mistake. Sometimes they make mistakes. That's okay to acknowledge it. In the case of the Yisomim giving out the property to the Yisomim, there was no mistake done. Based on thought that this property is best for this child and this property is best for this child, that was not a mistake. That's umdra daita, that they were trying to assess the situation and they did a good job at the time at least. So there, when there's no mistake, you cannot undermine what they did. Here, where they sold it for the wrong price, so then Rav Nachman says, we follow the Chachamim, that you could undo the sale if it's more than a sixth. Idilato, if the case of this case we just brought in, where they divided the Yisomim's property, the Apotropos divided the property of the Yisomim, if it's a case where there is no mistake, Subimayichon Limchos. So then in the first opinion, who thinks that one may be Mocha, what's the ground for them to be Mocha? And Rav Nachman thinks you cannot be Mocha. When the Apotropos gives out the lands, and then they get older, you cannot be Mocha. Whatever is done is done. But the first opinion thought that when Higdilu Yochol Limchos. But if there's no mistake, how could even the first opinion of Rav Nachman think, not that Rav Nachman himself, but the opinion before that, Shmuel, how could Shmuel think that when they get older, they could undo what was given out to them? There's no grounds to do that. There was no mistake in the first place. That the Gemara says, Yechol Limchos Beruchos, in terms of the directions. Rashi says, three lines from the top, Beruchos, Tov li litol chelki b'mizrach. I should have taken the one in the east. Sheishli etzla sadesh enoflo li b'beis avi'imi. My grandfather, had a land that was given to me out in the east. I should have gotten that property for my father in the east also. But it just makes more sense for me instead of getting the one all the way in the west. So there was no mistake at all during the times when it was given up originally. But now there's grounds to just, in terms of makes more sense, the way the lay of the land is, it might be better for me to have the property in the east. And those are the reasons that the first spin in Shmuel thinks one can be Mocha when they get older. But Rav Nachman thinks not that way.
It's interesting because I was going to ask a question that normally you wait till they are big to do the Chaluk of the Yisomi.
Oh, do they, yeah?
So here it says that, I was reading that according to the Rambam, the thing, what's going on here is that there were some Ketanim and some Gedolim, and the Gedolim come and they say, we want to split.
And when they say that, then even the Ketanim have to split also.
And then what they do is they split the Gedolim, but the Ketanim, they have one Apitropos all together, and then they split again. But those that didn't split, the Ketanim didn't split, can come afterwards to the Gedolim and say, listen, we don't want what happened.
Aha. Uh-huh. But if it's all Ketanim, you're saying you can't split.
You shouldn't. Unless it says it could be possible, according to Mandiamar that says that it's only Ketanim, there is a Machlokas. If one of the Ketanim says, listen, I want to divide now,
mm-hmm.
If we listen to him or not.
Interesting. Wait, I wonder if I have that footnote also. I must have it in the back, maybe.
I'm sure it's in the back.
Okay, interesting. What's that based on? Is that a Gemara? Or that's just all we've shown him? I wonder.
First was Gittim Shan, the Ritva. It's a Ritva who asks.
Uh-huh.
It says the Ritva says sheim kulam ktanim ein shum tam lachlok et hayachsim achshav latet o lo latet lahem limachot kesheyagdilu.
Okay. Very interesting. Now there's a Tosas here. I'm just looking at right now. I'm not going to go through it. Tosas Dibur Maskil Borim talks about how they do the dividing up. He initially says that they would not use a gora. They wouldn't draw lots just randomly. It would be based on, as we understood it, to be based on whoever deserves which property, which makes sense to which child. But there's a long discussion he has here, whether you use a gora. Because others say you do use a gora. You just draw lots, and whatever you get, you get. It's more arbitrarily as opposed to based on what makes sense. Okay, the Gemara now says four Y lines down on Kuf Amud Aleph. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Maisa, V'Asa Rabbi Kidirechem.
When Rav Dimi came, he said a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot like this.
There's so many times, right?
There are a lot of times, and also Rabbi Zera, also. It says Kisalak Rabbi Zera. When Rabbi Zera came from Eretz Yisrael, but from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he said the following. So, Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when he came, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, or Eretz Yisrael to Babel rather, Amar, he said, Maisa v'asa Rabbi kidirei chacham. And there's once a Maisa, such a Maisa like this, and Rabbi paskin like kidirei chacham, that the case was where the Dayanim had overpriced the property, and more than a sixth, and he paskin like chacham, that was not a good sale. So then the Gemara asks Amar Lefanov, Prata Benosha Rabbi Elazar ben Prata ben Benosha Rabbi Prata Hagadol. Prata was a name. So Prata, who was the son of Rabbi Elazar, who was the son of Prata, the grandson of Rabbi Prata Hagadol, a lot of Pratas. He says, how could you do that? Him came Akach Basin Yafeh. How could you undermine what Basin did? Okay, Basin maybe sold it or for much less than it should have been. But Basin, what Basin does is final. How could you overturn that? And Rebbe retracted. He said, okay, you're right, that's a good svara, and therefore I'm going to undo the undoing of the sale, meaning I'm going to uphold the sale initially that was made by Basin. So Rebbe Dimi Masi Hachir. Dimi had a different version of this. Rebbe Safra, so that was how Rebbe Dimi learned this sugya. But according to Rav Safra Masi Hachir, he had a different version of this. Maisa ubikesh Rebbe Lasos Kediv Chachamim. There was such a Maisa, and Rebbe wanted to pass like the Chachamim and say the sale is batal because the Dayanim had sold it for too much money or too little money. Amar Lefanav, so it's said in front of him before he's passing, Amar Lefanav, Prata Benosha Rebbe Elazar ben Prata ben Benosha Rebbe Prata Gadol, Im Kein Ma Koch Beisin Yafa. How can you do that? It's going to undermine the Kochos of Bezdin. So for that reason, Lo Asa Rebbe Esamaisa, he didn't go through with this and let the sale go through. So what's Machlokas, whether Rebbe actually did this or not? The question, did Rebbe do it and then was it retracted, or he thought to do it but never did it? What's that machlokas? Lema b'haku mifli. Maybe they're arguing about the following idea. Mar savar ta b'davar mishneh chozer, mar savar eino chozer. The machlokas is, in general, we have this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in a few places, that a person, in a dayan, or a posek, makes a mistake on a mefurish mishnah. In a mefurish mishnah, he just missed a mefurish mishnah. Does the entire psak get thrown out and he has to retract or no? A posek is a posek. A posek was given a certain authority to paskin, and whatever he says is final, even though it might be a mistake. What he says is final, which just by the way shows the koch of a dayan in a posek. It reminds you of the Gemara in Bava Metzia about Rav Elazar and Yeshua back and forth. Lo b'shemayim he. We've seen this before. I'm sure.
Yeah.
It comes up Sanhedrin. It's apparently comes here also. Pei Dalam Beis. It was quoted as well. But there's a sugi that appears more in Sanhedrin. So, the opinion who thinks, let's read through Rashi actually. See Rashi, Lema Baha Pligi, three narrow lines down. Rashi says, Lema Baha Pligi, Rav Dimi, Rav Safra, Rav Dimi, Savar, Dain, Hatoa, Bedavar, Misha, Shalo, Asa, Kimishna, Choser. So, if a person, a Rebbe, or a Posek, made a mistake of a first Mishnah, what he paskin is not a good psak, and the whole Maisa is going to be retracted. V'lo amrina masha asa asa, we don't say what he was done, v'yishami based on, he has to pay out of pocket the mistake he made. El b'tov shikal das k'moshim first percent hedgim. Only if he made a mistake at shikal das, which the Gemara there explains, that let's say there are two Gemaras that paskin one way and another Gemara elsewhere, at another place of the opposite. So he's not sure who to paskin like, so he decides to paskin one way and ends up being against the other way that most other people paskin, then he would have to pay out of pocket for such a mistake. But if it's a mefurish mishnah, the psak doesn't even get off the ground and the entire thing's thrown out, and he has to retract based on what his mistake. If he makes a mistake of shikal hadas, he paskin the wrong way because the two gemaras said different things, he did the wrong gemara, so then he'd pay out of pocket for the mistake. But the psak is a good psak still. He just has to pay the damage. But if he made a mistake on a first Shulchan Aruch, on a first Mishnah, he just forgot it. So then the entire Psak's not considered a Psak. You went against a first Mishnah. There's no other opinion there to deal with. So then the entire Psak is thrown out. And he's not responsible. You just redo the case. Hainami continues Rashi to say, Hainami Devar Mishnah, this is my first Mishnah, Shafa Picha Nechaku Chachamim Arab and Shimon Hari Nasan Tamil Dvarov. So here, what's the case by us? Chachamim say, if it's more than a six, it's not a good sale. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it is a good sale. So that's not a mefurish Mishnah, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Explains Rashi, since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel gives his svara of makoch basin yafeh, so that's the svara that we hold of, that's considered a mefurish Mishnah, we clearly pass like Rashbag. And Rebbe forgot this Mishnah, and therefore, if he made the psak, he'd have to be chozer the entire psak. That's according to Rav Dimi, that even though he made a psak, a person who makes a toba davar mishnah is chozer. But Rav Safra thought that Rebbe never made a psak, because if he did make the psak, he wouldn't have to be chozer on the din. He doesn't hold to the toba davar mishnah chozer. He thinks he wouldn't be chozer. So the only way this case would make sense is if Rebbe never made a psak in the first place. That's the machlokas, initially the Gemara thinks. And the Gemara answers low, not true. Everyone agrees that if you make a mistake in a first Mishnah, the entire psak is thrown out the window. Machlok is what happened. Meaning, even if Rav Safra would agree, if Rebbe made the psak and then he realized the mistake, he would have been chozer also. The just the question is what actually happened.
Right. Did he realize before the psak or did he realize after the psak?
Exactly. But either way, the psak would have been thrown out.
Right.
So that might be a machlokas about whether or not, similar to Gemara and Chulin, that we never let a tzaddik ever make a mistake in terms of eating a nevela or machal tasuros.
Hashem doesn't let that.
Hashem doesn't let that. So Gemara said, behemtim, if behemtim shel tzaddikim, kavachomer, the tzaddikim themselves, the Gemara says.
Right, yeah,
so maybe this is similar to that, not quite machal tasuros, but maybe similar. Maybe we wouldn't let Rebbe make such a mistake in the first mission, he only wanted to do, but we couldn't actually imagine him making a real mistake and having to be chozer. Maybe that's also behind what exactly they understood as the maisa between of Rebbe. Just a thought. Okay. Gemara now says towards the bottom of Amr Aleph, Amr of Yosef, Amr Losa, Rav Yosef says that Amr Losa, an Almana, Dizavni Achrayos, Dizavina, if a Almana sells a property, the Achrayos Ayasmi, and then this property that she sold ends up being taken by a Baal Chov, the bank takes it away after she sells it, the Achrayos Ayasmi, the Achrayos fall upon the Yisomim. Says Rashi here towards the bottom, Achriusach Ayasme, Im Nimtes Hasadek Zula O Mishubadesh Lacher, if it was either stolen or someone had a lien on it, the Tarfa Min Alokech, it's taken away from the person who purchased it, Bechovov, to fill in the debt, Choser Lokech Al Yisomim, the purchaser has to go after the Yisomim to get the money back. Shalmana Shliach Yisomim Haisa, she's simply representing the Yisomim, but the Yisomim are the actually Baabais, they are the ones with the title of the land, she was just a Shliach, so she's not responsible. If Basin sells the property, Achraus Ayasmi, also the responsibility falls out on Yisomim because they are the ones with the title. Seems somewhat unfair, but. So then the Gemara says, Pshita Almana. So this is obvious. Almana lo tzirchlei. You don't need to teach me the din of Almana. That we already knew this before. We learned this in the past. So when do you need this halacha of Rav Yosef? Ki tzirchlei bebedina. But in regards to Bezdin, that's when you need the halacha of Rav Yosef, that when a Bezdin sells the property, they too are only considered a shliach, and their responsibility would fall back on the Yisomim. So Mal the same, what would you have thought had he not taught us the halacha by Dayanim? We would have thought that kol dezavin mi beidina adaita lemefik le kalahu dezavin, kamashmalam. Any property that's being sold from Bezdin, it's on the das that people are going to be aware of this, and there's understanding that lokeach should have known, and any... Or let's look at Rashi. Rashi will say it much clearer than I will. Top Rashi, kol dezavin mi beidina adaita denafik lekala zavin. Anybody who buys from Bezdin, it's on the das that there's a voice. Everyone's going to know about this, which means Rashi, lefi shehein mochin b'hachraza. When Bezdin sells, there's this auction, there's this sign that goes up, and everyone knows about the sale of this property. Ubatuach halokeach, lelokeach is insured, in his own, he insures himself. Sheilu hayu Allah asikin, if there are people who are going to complain, hayu yotzin marin. If there's someone who really had the property stolen from him, or he had a lien on this, they would have came out and said, this is our land, you can't just auction this to somebody else.
But it's not necessarily they're selling it in auction, because the mission says, shuma lehanin, shikushtut, or zifushtut.
But the case here is the case is that there is
so
a claim.
Here
is, there is a claim, previous claim.
So, but maybe what David's saying is that...
Even if it is a claim...
Maybe it's only the case when there was an auction. Maybe you're saying if there was no auction, maybe even in the Dayanim, there would not be such a Havmina. Meaning if it's a case of no auction, then push it that the Bezdin sold it, and some guy collected it, the guy, the Achraz, falls back in the Yisomim. But in a case where Bezdin sells the Ayde Achraza, where everybody knows about it, and the guy just sits back doing nothing, even though he knows it's his property, so the Lokeach thinks, so well, if no one's stepping forward, it probably is not owned by anybody, he was therefore willing to buy the land with Ayde Achrayos. Kamashra, no. Even in that case, Lokeach wants the Achrayos, and if somebody does take the land from him, he will chase after the Yisomim, and he's allowed to chase after the Yisomim to collect his money. Gemara now says the two dots from Shimon Gamliel Omer. Quotes from the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that no, even Basin sells for much less than the price of the value of the land, it's a good sale. Because Makoch Basin Yofer. Ad Kama. And was there a limit? Yeah, how far are you willing to go? So Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ad Palga, half the amount. So if it's $100, you could sell as little as $50, or you could sell as much as $150.
Is that, or is it
no?
At 50 or 200?
You're saying double? Yeah? I was going to say, okay. Tani nami hachi, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Basin shemachu shavim masayim bimana, o shavim mana bimasayim. So what I was saying, no, what you were saying actually, yeah. So $100 for 200 or $200 for 100?
So you were saying.
Oh, yeah, I was saying that's different, right? Yeah.
100% more.
Yeah.
50%.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's either 50 or 200.
Now, the example they're giving is if it's you selling a property of 200 for 100 or you're selling 100 for 200.
Yeah, so it's double. It's always
half or double, right? Half or double. So what you said, yeah.
Yeah,
50, so if at my case was 100 for 50 or 100 for 200, they're right. The same. 200 for, okay. So there, the machir is kaim. Then it's good. It sounds like that's the limit. But if it's going to be more than double or more than or less than 50%, so then it's going to be batal according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He does have a limit. Now, by the way, this is probably the source. I didn't double check this, but this is probably the source. I think it's the Ritvan, but Mitzi who says that when we say Eino Nava Karkos, there's a limit. Some say there's never a limit. Others say there is a limit. So based on this Gemara, it sounds like Palga, the half, is the limit. That's, I think, the Ritva's position in Bava Metzia.
It makes sense that there has to be some kind of...
It seems to me that there's no limit.
There's no limit?
To the Meshigah City. $1 billion properties.
Okay, I don't know what the market value is to be, whether it's considered or no. Okay, oh no, it's a very challenging topic. Okay, the Gemara says now, Amar Ameimar Mishmei Dev Yosef, based in Shemachur Balach Raza, if Bezdin sells without any of the auctions, without the announcements, Nasu Kemisha Tal B'davar Mishnah, V'chozen. So, it's done like they made a mistake in the first Mishnah, and they have to retract it. Why? What's the Davar Mishnah? Because it's a halachah, you're supposed to sell with Achraza. That's the case, I think. So, I think, let's see. Nasu, the guy asks Nasu, they if they did this, Vadetau, it's not Kimi Shito. They clearly made a mistake. Let's see, there's a Rashi here. And again, the problem is because they didn't do Hachraz, is that the difficulty? Yeah, exactly. Hachraz, right. The fact that they didn't do Achraza, that's against the Mefurish Mishnah. So it's not Nasu if they did it. It's Kimishito. It was a Vadaito. They definitely made a mistake. It's not. The Mishnah says, Shum HaYisomim Shloshim Yom. When they're going to sell the property of Yisomim, there's 30 days of announcing the auction. And Mishum HaHekdesh, if they're going to evaluate some Hekdesh that a person had sold the property to Hekdesh and they wanted to get the best value of the money to sell it off, because if I make, let's say, my house Hekdesh, so the basic mikdash can't do anything with my house, obviously. So what it means my house is hektish is they're going to sell it for a good price, and that price is going to ultimately go to the basic mikdash. So you have 60 days to get the best buyer when it comes to hektish. Then it comes to, they have umachuizim aboker v'erev, and you make announcements both in the morning and the afternoon for 30 straight days or for 60 straight days. So it's a mefurish mishnah that's found in Erechin that you need hachraza. So a basin that sells without hachraza, that's a tarot bedavish mishnah in chosun. So Gemara says, so this is Rav Yosef saying this.
I think the whole limud is that the trechozer, as opposed to having to pay to make it, to keep it good and pay.
Right. I mean, if you're not chozer, it would be a good sale, but they have to pay the difference that they lost.
Right.
So what the Gemara is saying is, Rav Yosef, what's Rav Yosef adding here? Rav Yosef says that based on itself, that Hachraza had made a mistake. But to my first Mishnah, what's Rav Yosef adding on to the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Imiya, he had you add the mission Erchin alone, Hava Minahani Mila Shliach. That's only if a Shliach is doing the sale, so then you have the announcements. The announcements are necessary. Of a Bezdin, lo, but if Bezdin's doing the sale, even without the Achraza, it would still be a good sale. Kamash and Rav Yosef, no, even in Bezdin, if they sell without a Achraza, then it would not be a good sale, even though Bezdin's the one doing this. Okay. Says the Gemara further, the Gemara asks a question, Esive, of Ashi Le'amemar. He asks Amemar the question of Shum Hadayan.
This sort of brings back David's question, the mission about what's the first case. You know,
if there was no announcement, you're saying. Right, it sounds like if there was an announcement, then fine, but if there's no announcement...
What's the question?
Question is, the Gemara here sounds like if Basin never made a Hachraza, it's not a good sale. Our mission at the end of Tzai Testament Base said that Chachamim agrees in the case, the Tanakhama agrees that if Basin sold with a Hachraza, then it would be a good sale regardless of how off it would be, even if it would be a sixth off or more. But here the Gemara is saying that
here it seems that it's
you need an announcement.
According to a Meimar, שכוונת המשנה גם לבית דין המוכרים ונכסי יתומים שאף הם אינם רשאים למכור בלא הכרזה. ומכיוון שאין זה מוכח וודאי מתוך המשנה, לא היה מימר יכול לומר שאם מכרו בלא הכרזה הרי הם טועים בדבר משנה, אלא רק שנעשו כמי שטעה בדבר משנה. According to מימר.
I get all that.
Meaning that, according to מימר, they have to do הכרזה.
Right, but that goes against our Mishnah though.
Right, but and if they didn't, it's like they were told. It's not that it goes back, but they have to pay the difference. It's not like they were told bidvar mishnah. It's like they were toim sheim machru belo achrazah harehem toim elarak shenasu kemi shetau bidvar mishnah.
The Gemara is asking a question from our mishnah. Maybe this is the question the Gemara is about to ask. Let's see. The Gemara says Eisvei Rav Ashi la meimar. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the end of Tzai Testament Beis, if the Dayanim overprice or underprice more than a sixth, it's a Mechir Batal, the Mechir is null and void. But Hashava B'Shava Machin Kaim, but if it's equal, it's going to be a good sale. So Gemara says, wait a second, my Lav Dula Achra is not talking about a case, this is the question, where there was no Hachraza. So we see even without Hachraza, as long as the price is right, it's going to be a good sale. So you do not need Hachraza. So lo, but the even the Reish is talking about a case of Hachraza. But how could that be? How many the Sefer but the Achra's have a Reish of Achra's? The fact that the Sefer is Hachraza is clearly implies, that's what we were assuming up until now, that the Reish where there was no Hachraza, the Katani Sefer, the Sefer says, Im Asa, Agres, Igeres, Bukuras, Afil Machu Shava, Mana, Bimasaim, O Shava, Masaim, Bimana, Melchin Kaim. If there is a Hachraza, then it's a good sale, even though it's very much off the price. So clearly the Reish is where there is no Hachraza, yet it's still a good sale. This is exactly Adam and David's question. So, El Eliolim Bidul Hachraza, really the Reish is a case where there is no Hachraza, Velo Kasha. There are different types of things. Certain things get sold with hachraza, certain things that don't, that get sold without hachraza. Our mission, the Reish, is talking about something that gets sold without hachraza, therefore it's a good sale. But an item that requires a hachraza, when there is no hachraza, it's not a good sale. So what are these examples, says the Gemara? V'eilu hein dvarim she'ein machrizin aleim ha'avadim ha'metaltin v'asharos. These are the following things that do not require a hachraza at all, and it's a good sale without a hachraza. Avadim ha'metaltin v'asharos. Says the Gemara, what's the explanation for these three? Avadim, time of my, why is there no hachraza by sell when selling avadim, which is what the Mishnah is talking about, one of the examples at least. Shema yishmu v'yavivarchu. Perhaps the Eved's going to get wind of him being sold and is going to run away. He's happy with his master, doesn't want to get comfortable with a new master. He'll run away. We have to therefore sell him privately on the black market. But let's say metaltan, what's the reason metaltan don't get sold with hachraza? Visharos, why not sharos either? Shema yignivu. Perhaps they're going to get stolen. What does that mean? So look at Rashi, four narrow lines down. Shema yignivu, kishine asafim lerosim kidei lulokum. They're going to start looking at this document, and then look at that property, look at that little coast, and this. And when it comes to the shuk, people are going to start looking into the guy's house, and they might just steal them. I guess that's the concern. I'm not sure why there's a concern here, as opposed to anything else that's being sold in the shuk. Why is there a concern of it being stolen? People have sell things all the time.
Here you're selling things on behalf of people who are
selling. So you're saying like if there's a tag on someone's house, people might come and look. It's not a real official store. People from the shir walking in.
Protecting himself, and the guy protects his own stuff. Here it's Bazin's giving you a peek into the lives of children's possessions.
Uh-huh. Okay, so a little bit more vulnerable here.
We're talking about where Beis Din is selling these things in order to get mizonos, right?
Right.
For Ksuba, you wouldn't be able to sell metaltan.
Right.
This is all for mizonos.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense to me this way. Because it doesn't make sense that it says, Aval im asu igeret. It seems that it's going back on the reisha. Clarifying the ratio, it doesn't seem that it's talking to two different items.
I mean, the Pasha, Shalom, you're
of
right.
The Mishnah, it seems that it's saying, listen.
Every case.
Meaning that we only say that there is a bottle after a certain amount But if it's the Akraza, then it will be okay.
So I agree. The Pashup Shah Mishnah is not like this, but the Gemara has a stira in Mishnayos and the position of a Memar. So they explain that our Mishnah is only talking about a very limited type of sale of Avadim, Metaldin, Sharos, where there's no Akraza. But the Mishnah concludes, if there was a Akraza, even though that wasn't advised, but if they did a Akraza anyways on a Shtar and Avadim and Metaltim, then even the Tanakham would agree it's a good sale, even though it might be very much over or underpriced. Which is interesting that...
Russia speaks clearly what to me.
No, it doesn't say Karkaos.
That's the case, because, you know, they owe the Ktuba. And only Karkaos, like Adam said, you can...
But I think Avadim is a Karkaos. Can you pay Avadim? Because Avadim are considered
Karkaos. I don't know what I did with them.
What was that, sorry?
Avadim are like karka, so
machlokas.
And can you sell avadim to pay the ksuva?
So look, so Adam was saying before. Let's look at the Tosos. Adam was saying before this has to be referring to mizonos because you cannot use metalton to collect from ksuva.
But avadim may be karka.
So avadim machlokas. I'm not sure how that works in, but look at what Tosos says differently than Adam, if that's okay, Adam. Tosa says, "Elu dvarim shein machrizin aleim avadim v'sharos u'metaltim." Exactly. Islam naukma. There is one has to say, "Hani metaltin v'sharos kigon shiyuchten la l'ksuva." No, it's talking about collecting the ksuva. Adam asked, but you don't collect. You can use metaltin to collect ksuva. It's where they're miyached. Particularly, they're miyached. They were designated as the places of collecting the ksuva, and therefore that does work even on metaltin, sharos, and avadim. Inami, alternatively, the Tosa suggests the Tafsa Michaim. Maybe it's a case where she took hold of the properties Bechaim, De'ilav Hachi lo Gavilei lo Lisha lo Balchov. Otherwise, if that weren't to be the case, then you can't collect these for the Ksuba. So I'm not sure why we can't say this is referring to Mizonos either, though.
Yeah, Rashi says that we're talking about Mizonos. He didn't say it on the Mishnah. He said on the Gemaras that we're following the Mishnah that we're talking about Mizonos. He says it. In the last Rashi and Kofam and Aleph, there were a couple of places Rashi said Mizonos, we're talking about Mizonos.
Yeah, last one, the Muzz and Isha, yeah.
But I think it's few of the there's a Mishnah in Ketubah that speaks about the Vadim as compared to Metaltonim.
Yeah, there's sugyas throughout, Baba Kama and.
No, I'm talking about Ketubah.
Yeah, we saw it here also?
Yeah. Clearly.
But again, it's machlokas tanaim whether avadim are mikakari dami or metal tali dami. That's a.
When it says here sheichet la lichtuba, meaning that what he actually went to basin, like the husband wrote on the ksuba that these metal tani or these avadim are, or how does it work?
Yeah, probably in the ksuba he said he delineated these items are going to be the place of collecting the ksuba. Right. Okay, fine, let's keep going. The Gemara says, there are other Rishonim who say what Adam said, it seems, maybe the Rush here, that says that it is referring to collecting for the purpose of Mizonos. I think that's what the Rush is being quoted as saying. Okay, let's go a little further now. Gemara says, Ibaisema. Another answer is, and we're trying to figure out the problem right now, our Mishnah seems to indicate that there is no hachraza in the Resha, but then this Mishnah, at least, this Mishnah sounds like there has to be hachraza, and a Maimon's understanding is that without the hachraza, it's not a good sale. Yibayisayim, the Gemara suggests differently, kan vishas shem achuzin, kan vishas shein machuzin. Depends on the time of when you make hachraza. Let's see, let's read a little further. Damri nahardai, they would say nahardai, lekargo lemizone lekvura, mizavinan belo achrazasa. So what's this saying? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "B'shashim achrizin." Around seven lines, narrow lines down. Rashi, "B'shashim achrizin." Can the farsh sheyesh shah shein panai l'hamtin meshachim achraza? Sometimes it's so urgent, and there's a great need. There's no time to make an announcement, have an auction. Could go in lecharga lemazoni lekvura. What's the charga? Lefrol lemelch kasef gulgalos hayisomim. The yisomim have to pay the taxes. The king is collecting. There's now 30 days to wait. You have to sell right away. Or there's mizonos that are needed for the yisomim, for the almana. Or if someone died, the almana needs to be buried. These are things that are quite urgent, and there's no time for an auction. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah here, where there's no achraza, where it's very urgent. But if they happen to do achraz, the Mishnah continues to say it. So then even the Tanakhama will think it's a good sale. The Mishnah Erech and the Amemar says that there must be achraz, and without the achraz, it's not a good sale. That's where there's time still to use. There's 30 days you could wait in, before collecting the money. Then the Gemara says, Yibayisem, another suggestion would be, Kan b'makum shemachrizin, kan b'makum shemachrizin. Apparently, not every place did hachraza. So our Mishnah is talking about a case where they didn't typically do hachraza, and the Mishnah Erechin that Amimar is learning from is talking about where they did do hachraza. The Amar Rav Nachman, me'olam lo asa igaris bikaris bin harda. Bin harda, is that part of that? That he, Rav Nachman said that he had never did any hachraza in harda. That wasn't where he, the custom from his place was not to do hachrazas. So that's what our Mishnah is referring to. Where there is no need for achraza. So Savar Minei, so they thought to say initially, Mishum Debeki B'Shuma. So initially they understood the statement of Rav Nachman, why did they never do achraza in Harda? Because they're such experts in properties, in valuating, there's no need for achraza. They trusted, a person came to buy the property, they knew exactly the price, and you didn't need to do 30 days to get with the market value, it's based on what people gave you, they knew what the objective value was. But then Amalei Rav Yosef Bar Minyomi Lididi Mefarshili Minei Rav Nachman was once explained to me, Rav Nachman, the reason why Rav Nachman wouldn't do Achraza is Mishum Dekari Lai B'nei Achli Nichse D'Achrazta. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Mishum Dekari Lahu G'nai V'Chirpa Hi Lahem. It's disgraceful and it's an embarrassment to them. Kishikonim Nechasim Shebeisin Mochum. To buy property that based on the auctioning off. Sounds like the people who bought the note of BBY. They're trying to hide behind this lawyer, whoever's holding on this sugya here, that they're taking advantage of people who a school that's falling, went under and they can't afford it anymore. So two from people decided to buy the note of this property, but they were hiding behind the lawyer because it's embarrassing for them to show their face. Who's taking advantage of people who are poor? So who wants to buy property? There's the poor Yisomim, and they don't have any money. So Basin says, we need to find the money. Let's sell the property and get some money for the Yisomim. I don't want to be the guy to take advantage of these Yisomim. So for those reasons, they didn't want to do achraz. They wanted to do it more privately to help out the Yisomim.
So basically, the Mishnah, according to the last two Pshatim, is talking about one case. It's just that it's talking about the case of Karkos.
So this last answer?
The last two, Iboisema.
The last two. The second to last one we just saw before this was, it depends, different Makomos.
Right.
But that's the last one, right.
But the first, the ratio of the Mishnah can be talking about Karkos. It's just that...
Exactly. We're not limited to
what type of property anymore.
The first answer
is that it's talking about Abadim. Well, the other ones, right?
It could be about Lechor or Karka.
Interesting that they put that one first.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not, just because first, I don't know if it means it's the better answer or not. Uh-huh. The truth is, just based on the notations of the Ein Mishpat of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, it sounds like all three answers are actually good answers. Each of them have a psak here. So. Mark continues and says, "Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Metaltlin Shel Yisomim Shamim Oson Umochon Oson LeAlter." So Shmuel paskins that the property, the movable property that is, of the Yisomim that get evaluated, assessed, and sold right away. Sell it right away. Why?
Talking about fruits that can get ruined.
Peros, okay. Even though it's a metalton, right? Rashi, that's what Rashi means. Rashi is la'alter, misamach lemisas avien shelo yikrivu. So they shouldn't rot. But the chor, if it's something that's not a fruit, the Gemara doesn't seem to represent the Rashi very well. Metalton sounds like all metalton, even non-decaying items. But Rashi limits it to only peros.
Or other stuff that the value will go down.
Right, but something that wouldn't depreciate, right. There's no need to rush to sell it. Okay. Then the Rav Chista Amar Avimi Mochanosan Lishvakim. You sell them in the marketplaces to get the better price. I would imagine that's a svara. For Pligi, there's no machlok. It's ha de mikriv shuka ha de mirchak shuka. It depends how close the shuka is. If he lived out in the mountains, far away from the city to sell it, so then you sell them as soon as possible, even though it's going to get a lower price, you're at least going to mitigate any damages. But if you live close to the city, so better to go to the city and sell it quickly. You could accomplish both. Sell it quickly and to more people out there to get a better price for the metalton and the peros. If kana have a biyadeh shichra de rav misharshe bar chiklei. Yasma. Rav Kana was holding on to some beer that was really that owned of Rav Masharsha, who was the Yasam. And Shehiya Ad Rigla, he waited until the regel to sell it because the regel were more people around, he could get a better price for it. So Amar Afagav de Nafel Bey Itzatzta, even though it fell within it, Rashi's Itzatzta is Tam HaKarov Lahachmit, even though it's really almost going sour, it's going to turn to vinegar soon. So Maisi Zuza Harifa. I still rather Rashi says Zuza Harifa is Mimahe Lavo, Fisha called Tzrichen Lachachum Vin Maos, Vein Makifin Lehem Bashrai. So when I sell by the regel, people are going to want the wine pretty quickly, even though it's almost on the way out, it's almost expired, but still you're able to make that wait to get a better price in this situation. Okay. Ravina have a biyade chamer de Ravina zute yisama. Ravina was holding on to some wine that was in the possession of Ravina zute, the younger, the smaller Ravina, who was a yasom, bar achte, who was the son of his sister, his nephew. So his nephew. So apparently his brother-in-law passed away. So his nephew now, he's holding on to the wine. Have a lidide nami chamra. He also had wine of his own, Ravina had. Have a kamasik le lisichra. What does that mean? Rashi says lisichra is shemakum. I guess he brought them to sichra. And also the Kamidir Rav Ashi brought it, went in front of Rav Ashi. Amalei mahu lamtuye bahaldein. What's halacha? Can I bring it over? Rashi says mahu lamtuye sheyesh halacha shelo titba hasvina. I don't want to transport them on a boat. Maybe it's going to sink. Amalei zil lo adif mididach. Go. It's no worse or no better rather than yours. I mean, however you treat your own produce, you should treat this as well. I think.
Meaning, if you're willing to take a risk on your own.
Right. Exactly. Treat it like your own property. So right. If you're willing to take that risk, take it on the boat, you could take his as well. Okay, should we do this Mishnah?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay. The Mishnah says, how long is stone till? Okay.
Sure.
So the next stop is also, okay. Oh, tomorrow we're finishing the parak. So the Mishnah says, Hamema'enes Hashnia. The islandus ain lehen ksuba lo peros lo mazonos lo blaos. So what's this referring to? So Mamenes is a person, a girl who had been married off when she was under the age of 12 by her brothers. Her father died. She was Yasoma, and she was married off. And then she did miun, so that she refuses. She opts out of the marriage. Marriage is over. There's no need for get. Hashnia, what's Shnia? Rashi says, Shnia la'arayas, you remember from the Mishnahs in Yivamos, the secondary level arayas, which are only medivrei sofrim. And then an islandess, so a woman who's not able to have children, those three individuals, ein lehem ksuba, they do not get a ksuba. Rashi explains the reason for this. Ein lehem ksuba mima'enes mishum dematzma yotze. She left on her own. Only when she gets divorced or widowed does she get a ksuba. When she walks out on her own, she doesn't deserve the ksuba. Shnia Knasa Derbani, a woman who's married, even though Midiraisa, she can get married to this man, but since the Chachamim said you're not allowed to, it's considered Divrei Sofrim, or else she loses out, she gets penalized with no Ksuba. And the reason why an islandess doesn't get Ksuba, Rashi says towards the bottom of that Rashi, islandess Mishum Mekach Tosu. It's a mistake. The whole marriage was based on a mistake, and she gets divorced without a Ksuba. Nor do they get Paris. Low Paris, they don't get fruit either. Rashi says, it's a long Rashi, but let's do this. Rashi is low Paris. Din peros, who perukna, she took the chacham and tachas peros, nichse malug, shu ochel, ein la. So the fruit is something that chachamim had given. I thought he eats the fruit. May he gets that fruit, maybe? Let's see. So it's referring to not peros themselves, it's referring to the perukna, the pidyon that comes about from the fruit, meaning the husband gets to eat the fruit of the nichse mulug, and in turn, her benefit is, if she were to be held captivity, he has to redeem her. So that idea of being redeemed, which is a outgrowth of peros, doesn't mean peros itself, that she does not have it, that benefit of being redeemed. Why? Karashi says, again, v'imineshpus einu chayv liftosi, does not have to redeem her, did t'nai ksuba k'ksuba da. It's a t'nai the ksuba. And just like there's no ksuba, we just said, there's no t'nai ksuba either, and she would not get redeemed. So it doesn't mean peros, the peros goes to him. It means that which gets to her, as a result of him getting the peros, so she does not have the zechus of being niftes if she's held captivity. Then back to the Mishnah, v'lo mizonos. She does not get mizonos either. Mizonos is also a tanai in the ksuba, and since there's no ksuba again for these three individuals, there's no tanai ksuba, there's no mizonos either. V'lo belos. Belos are the worn-out clothing, that the rags that she gets. This, too, she doesn't get. Look at Rashi, the first Y line down in Rashi towards the end of the line. V'lo belos. Sichke begodim, the remnants of the clothing, sheviu lo bishuma, that she brings him with a certain evaluation, v'lovshan hu eno machziran la b'yitziyasa. She brings in some remnants, some cloths, that he, the husband, has the zechus of wearing. When they get divorced, typically she gets to take them back. In this case, she does not get to take them back. Rashi doesn't explain the svara for that. Maybe there's two of the Tanai Bezdin, and Tanai Ksuba maybe. And im mitchila nasa l'shem islandus yesh l'ksuba. But let's say the case of islandus, they got married. The husband was well aware that she was an islandus, yet he got married anyways. You cannot claim that it's a mekach talus anymore. Then the islandus would get all those above mentioned dinim.
Is it the begadim of her that she valu and she gets money because he was supposed to buy them for her, or is it that he used?
I think the begadim that she brought in a certain amount of cloth that he wore. That's what Rashi says. Is there a different pshat? The Gemara apparently is going to deal a little bit more in depth with this belos, what exactly they are. Yeah, we're going to see this tomorrow's daf, apparently. So let's wait off on that, on the belos. So then the Mishnah says, Almana l'koin gadol, if an almana marries a koin gadol, which is an issa deraisa, or gusha v'chalut l'koin hedel, which is also an issa deraisa, or mamzeres v'nesin l'Yisrael, which is also an issa deraisa, bas Yisrael v'nesin l'mamzer, which is also an issa deraisa, all those cases, yesh lem ksuba, they actually do get ksuba, even though they are violating issa deraisa, explains Rashi, two wide lines down, Almana l'koin gadol, yesh la ksuba, she gets a ksuba, mipnei shehi psula, v'vlad apostle, ayidei nesun, Fikach enu margilasa elahu margila umishal lalinase lo fikach kanto to liting ksuba. So the issue is here, since she's pasal now, she becomes a chalala, since she married a kohen gadol kohen hedyot, and the children are also chalalim through this marriage, she's not going to be interested in saying married to him because he made her into a pasal, and the children are the psulim. Only he wants to say married to her because he doesn't care. When he divorces her, he's still going to be a Kohen. Nothing's going to happen to him. So he's okay staying married to her. So for that reason, we give him the kenas that he's getting penalized to have to pay off the ksuba to her. Not that she deserves the ksuba. She doesn't really deserve the ksuba. But as a penalty to him to make sure he divorces her, we throw the ksuba on his end. Should we start with this Gemara? Yeah, okay, fine. Let's stop here then.
Sure. Okay.